Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I find it very interesting. We talked about Melchizedek in Bible study Wednesday. And so our reading today is about Melchizedek. You know, and so the thing is, if it was interesting enough for Bible study, it's probably interesting enough for all of us. You know, on Ash Wednesday, I preached our sermon topic on Jesus as prophet, priest, and king. And all three of those are important. And again, how many for the people that were here Wednesday? Three, see it? The number of perfection. But today, we're going to look at Jesus as our priest. And we're going to do it by studying the 14th chapter of Genesis and the 5th and 7th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Well, Jesus. Well, we always like hearing about Jesus, don't we? I mean, that's what we're in church for. And as a king and priest, Jesus is important, isn't he? I'm sure he is. Jesus is the king of righteousness and the king of peace. The Lord of blessings. He's without a father. He was fathered by the power of God. He doesn't have a genealogy because he is of God and the Son of God, and he was told by God he would be a priest forever. That's what our readings were today. My friends, that's not a description of Jesus. That's a description of Melchizedek that we meet in Genesis 5 and is discussed in detail in Hebrews 7. And this description is from Hebrews 7. Okay, well, why is this so important that it's in both the Old Testament and the New Testament? Well, after Jesus was resurrected, he ascended into heaven and he sits at the right side of God the Father Almighty on his throne. All right, so once he plants it up there, he never moves, right? And he was up there before he came to earth. And if you believe that, there isn't too much I can say to you about that, can I? Okay. Great thing to do, but don't you think that would be a boring existence, especially for God? I do. You know, Jesus was part of creation. He was there at the very beginning. And he's also the main force of the second coming for the end of the world, time of judgment. So, did Jesus do anything between creation and his incarnation when he was born a man? Does the Bible say anything about that? You got to sort of read between the lines, don't you? All right, many times when we see an angel in the Old Testament, especially Gabriel or Michael or Uriel is mentioned once, the angel is mentioned, isn't he? But what about when it says, and an angel of the Lord dwelt among them? An angel of the Lord. Why wasn't that angel named if all the rest of them were? You ever think about that? Because usually the angel of the Lord, spoken of that way, is the pre-incarnate Christ coming down here. Now let's look at Melchizedek. But before we do that, let's look at this. There are stories in the Bible that we call the Joseph narratives. And that's the people who are like Jesus in the Bible. And Joseph, the reason we say Joseph narrative is because Joseph is one. What about Moses? Okay. He was put into a basket as a baby. Right. So when we start looking at these, we have all these examples leading into Jesus. And I think a lot of times it's to prepare people so they're ready for Jesus. Make sense? Well, Melchizedek is one of the biggest ones of this. Now, we had sort of part of that reading when it says in Melchizedek, you are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. All right. And it's because Jesus was appointed by him who said to him, you are my son, today I have begotten you. And he also says in another place, you were a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. These are both from Psalm 110. All right, so not only in Genesis 14, Psalm 110, we have Melchizedek mentioned. In Hebrews 5 and 7, we have Melchizedek mentioned. So if we start seeing a name that many times in the Bible, is it important? Well, sure it is. Sure it is. But let's look. Melchizedek had neither a beginning or an end. He had no parents or genealogy. He was forever, according to what Scripture says. And he was a priest forever. To me, that sounds like Jesus, doesn't it to you? All right. And I find it also interesting that in Genesis 14, it says, Melchizedek is the king of Salem. Right, peace in Hebrew is shalom. And also it says that he is the king of peace. But the other thing I think is important for us is he's the king of righteousness. In Hebrew, Melchor is king. And it's Melchizedek. Melchizedek is righteousness. So his name means the king of righteousness. All right, king of peace, king of righteousness. Again, who does that sound like to you? Now, here's the thing I find very interesting. Remember last week I preached on Abraham because there was no Jewish religion. There's no Christianity. Okay? There's nothing that really Abraham could lock in on. But he was saved by grace through faith, right? His faith in the one true God. And so Genesis 14 tells us that Abraham was blessed by Melchizedek, and Abraham recognized him as a priest of the one true God. How would he know that? That's a good question, isn't it? But yet the Scripture tells us he recognizes him. And then the other thing that's important, he gives him a tenth of everything he owns. Now, he just came back from a huge battle where he beat five kings. All right, so that means that he had a lot of loot with him. So he gave a tenth of that to Melchizedek, which would have been a vast sum. If he didn't think Melchizedek was important, would he have done that? No. You know, so when we look at the story in the Bible, and somebody said, well, it can't be Jesus. I don't know about you, but if it looks like a duck, walks like a duck, and quacks like a duck, you can call it a rogue, but it still quacks. Right? Pre-incarnate Christ. Does Jesus walk among us? Alright, now, whenever two or more are gathered in my name, you know, there two I shall be. But it isn't saying, alright, here, Jesus, let's go out and grab a beer tonight. But yet, could that have happened? If you're in the grocery store and you talk to somebody, and all of a sudden you get a really strange feeling, could it be an angel? Could it be Jesus talking to you in the flesh? You know, we think that the time of miracles is all over. It's not. And Jesus has the power to do whatever he wants to do. And Jesus is with us. Isn't he? Well, stop and think of the name. What does the name Jesus' name mean? Sorry. You're close. God saves. Okay. Now, the other thing is, O come, Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean? Well, yes, Jesus, but what does it actually mean? Emmanuel. Well, we know in Hebrew, El is God. Means God with us. Alright, so God saves, God with us is Jesus. Where does it say, but he's only going to be here for 30 years and the rest of the time he isn't? See what I'm getting at? I don't know how many people have said, well, we know that he hasn't come back. How do we know that? Jesus is going to do whatever he wants to do. So, let's go back to Abraham and Melchizedek again. Abraham knew that Melchizedek was a priest of the Most High God. Again, before there was a religion, priest, temple, churches, whatever. Why? Because God was with Melchizedek and God was with Abraham. Okay? And both of them were able to recognize that they were aficionados or believers in the one true God. You ever thought of it that way before? Jesus does not sit on that throne for eternity. All right, so what are we trying to, when we have that in the creed? It's telling us that Jesus is with God. Yeah, we know that. But do you think God sits up there on the throne and puts the light out for everything? No. Does he walk the earth and talk to his people? I think so. You know, on a daily basis, Jesus walks with us. Dean, you brought up the thing about footprints. You know, a man's walking through the sand and looks back and there's two sets of prints. And when times get hard, there's more because he's carrying them. I think when we start thinking that our relationship with Jesus is not just something that we learned one day, but it's an ongoing thing. And who blesses us on an ongoing basis? Holy Spirit. So between the Holy Spirit leading us to Jesus and Jesus with us, I think that's an awfully nice thing to have in our lives, isn't it? I don't know about you, but it's a blessing, but it's also scary to know that he's always with us. It reminds me of that Christmas carol. He knows when you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sakes. But I think it's those kind of things, you know, it sort of reminds us of that. So my friends, the story of Melchizedek, I think, is one of the most important ones in the Bible because it lists the pre-incarnate Christ walking among us. And it takes that Old Testament story and brings it into the New Testament as a living example of Jesus. Not a dead Savior, but a living Savior. So when you need Jesus to listen to you, talk to him. He's with you. And he hears you. And you never know when you're talking to him in a physical body. Even though you might not know him, but my friends, you do know him. The high priest of righteousness and the high priest of peace. And may this peace that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.